sign up for the Superhuman Brain Free Masterclass. 99% of the population is focused on treating the symptoms of brain-based diseases and disorders. Remarkably, the 1% who focus on cultivating a healthy, high-performing brain often see symptoms disappear as a side effect of getting healthy and restoring function. The Superhuman Brain Masterclass will give you access to the upgrades you've been looking for: maximized memory, exceptional focus, and greatly productive brain function. When you join this free masterclass, you'll learn the Superhuman Brain proprietary methodology, a world-class education with simple checklists, step-by-step solutions, and little-known protocols that invite healing, brain upgrades, and next-level performance. The Superhuman Brain Masterclass is online and free from December 3rd through the 9th, 2018. Sign up with the link below.
I heard that there's actually places where there's menus where you can order kits. Like, is that true?
Yeah. There are things like that. Yes, there's all that. But again, you got the bars. There were, again, I cite New York because I was here in Minneapolis with Gary McGaughey and Tidwell, and we actually watched it happen, you know, right here in Minneapolis, where they would come in and pick up the girls and stuff right on, what is that street in Minneapolis? But yes, I was in Oklahoma City, Columbus, Ohio. It was everywhere.
Do they have kill rooms and underground tunnels?
I don't know. That I've never, other than the stuff we saw, like in Untermeyer Park with the sacrifices and that, I've heard of it, but I've never seen actual kill rooms, as they call it. See, some of that is there, but not the way they describe it. You know, they do sacrifice kids. Why, certainly, look at Matamoros, Mexico. I never forget. Remember the kid in Matamoros that died a number of years ago? And it was lucky there was a reporter there. And the reporter said, wait a second, there's a cigar butt there. He says, I heard Jimmy Rothstein talk about this. That's a satanic ritualistic killing. Because in this particular cult killing, they would cleanse the body with Cuban cigar smoke, which is the same thing that showed up in the Estine West and that case that we had in New York, where I first found out about it, when they killed Shelley Bloom. There was a cigar butt there, and it was a Cuban cigar. And what they do is, before and after killing, they blow smoke on the body of that. You know, there's all these different things. Every cult has its own little symbol, and they change as a new guy gets involved. But yes.
Are they satanic worshippers, like Satan?
Yeah, but you can worship anything, and they do. I mean, it's nice to call everything satanic. Yeah, that's just a good name. But in the real world, it's a sacrifice.
Whatever
God or tree or wind, whatever they want to adore. For everything, there is a God, you know. You can't have, if you don't believe in God, you can't believe in satanic stuff. You know, and that's what they do. Oh, you won't believe the weird stuff. You got the whole thing where they have these kids, you know, for instance, like the JonBenet Ramsey case, where you have these, it's called costume sex. It's just like you had here, where they would dress these kids up in cassocks and then molest them. You know, and they have these cult followings that watch these kids and then do what they got to do, you know.
Was JonBenet with that whole child thing that she was part of, the beauty contest?
Yeah, but that whole thing is has followers that have nothing to do. And everybody wants to blame the parents here. I got people that have been calling me since it happened.
It was the parents with that case?
I don't know. I don't. Okay, there's so much here, because within 2 days of that happening, I had a phone call from somebody in intelligence who told me, it was a, you know, the cult following of the costume, you know, stuff. And this guy was a military guy that called me. So, and this guy, I know, knew very well he knew this stuff. So, but I know these people have been calling me since it happened, trying to blame the mother and father. I have never, again, I did not actively pursue it, but I know the call I got. And I know, they didn't even know that there was a following for this stuff, you know. And that's a lot of this stuff too. Again, citing an example, I get a call from a bar owner in New York to come in right away. There was a girl that was there that was going to be put into prostitution that didn't belong. And I came in and the hookers were there waiting. They had gone to him to tell him, because they all knew to get a hold of me, you didn't go to the police department. There were certain people you had to see. And I got there, and yes, and we saved her, and we sent her back to Michigan. A number of years later, she came back to New York, and she went to this bar again, and the guy called me. He says, Jim, you got to come in. Somebody wants to see you. And there she was. She had graduated from college, opened a business, and she came to thank me for having saved her life. Because, see, there were so many of these people that you could help if you got and knew what you were doing. And in New York, after a while, there were a lot of honest cops. And, you know, they had to work within to keep their careers. And they would call me and tell me, Jim, I got this. It's like the Son of Sam case. The first inkling of the Son of Sam, a very honest forensic detective who I knew, met with me in a bar out on Long Island. He said, Jim, we got a cult serial killings going on. This was 2 years before it was solved. He knew. But he came to me because, you know, he knew I knew this stuff. And it was tied to the stuff that I have been taken to Untermyer Park with.
How does the blackmail work?
The what?
Blackmail.
Blackmail, easy. Skull Murphy was the best there ever was. And you can look at an article that was written by Bill McGowan, who happens to be the son of a captain I knew who was a good informant. But Skull Murphy was my informant. And they blackmailed everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. Congressmen, cops, doctors, lawyers. Yeah, right to the highest levels. They would take them, like in some cases, they go right into the district attorney's office and, you know, say they were detectives and they'd have the guy and, well, it cost you $25,000 and they go get the money and then they let the guy go. But extortion at every level, not only for money, but for power, for favors and stuff like that, you know, that's how it works.
And how do they bring the little kids in there?
Well, they set that up ahead of time. You know, that's a different part of the, first they set them up with the kid, and once they got them compromised, then they'll get them in a position where they can confront them. Oh yeah, it's very simple how they do it. And you won't believe what they're extorted for. You know, power, corporations. I had some corporations that paid dearly to cover all that stuff up, you know.
But they would compromise a CEO or something.
Or somebody in it in a high position, yeah. Yeah, and I'm not going to name any companies, but, oh yes, I had 2-3 cases actually like that, yeah.
Well, how many of those compromised people were actively involved and were dirty versus were innocent in the use they compromised?
There was never anybody innocent. They had all messed around, and, you know, it seems like once they got in power, they felt they could do anything. I confronted guys, and I'll give you a case. Uncle Charlie's in New York was a notorious hangout for high-level, rich pedophiles. And one particular night, there was a man who was going to run for president. And we got the call. He was there with 2 little boys. So we walked in on him, and my partner, and I said, we were a little out of the ordinary. He picked a piece of shrimp off the guy's plate. Now, this guy was a senator at the time. And ate it, and the guy, yo, who the hell do you think you are? And so he calls Roy Cohen, the big shot lawyer, right? We knew Roy Cohen, and Roy Cohen knew me. And this guy is describing how these detectives came in, and all of a sudden he starts going, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, right? And he hangs up the phone. He says, I'd like to apologize if I insulted you detectives. Would you like to join me for dinner? He never ran for president. But this is how it worked. And there were others, you know, there were people who would use that, you know, like who called us? We don't know. You know, 90% of the things I got I didn't know where the information came from. You know, it's just the way it is. So,
is New York cleaner than Minnesota, for example?
Population-wise, definitely. You know, when you go with the amount of people. Because after, it took a lot of years after we got done for a lot of things to start happening in New York. But it did. I haven't been there. The only time I go there is to do a TV show or something like that, and then I leave. But yes.
What other states are like Minnesota?
Ohio. Go down. Go almost every one of them. Ohio was very bad. Pennsylvania. You know, I worked in all of them places. And
But you were saying that the makeup of Minnesota makes it worse than
yes,
other places.
Yes, because, yes,
what,
it does.
What other states have that makeup, and what specific?
Ohio.
Ohio. How about Utah?
That was different. That's a whole different group out there. That's a different operation, but they have the problem too. That's not part of this group.
What do you mean part of this group?
You know, that's a different religious beliefs and stuff like that. But this one here, like I say, ended up in Kanab, Utah. That's what we know where they ended up. But these things all, you know, dovetail. You got that whole thing through Colorado and the different part, the Rocking X, and then you got the JonBenet Ramsey. And there was another ranch, I forget the name of it now, that was tied in with all of this stuff too.
I heard California's pretty bad.
Oh, unbelievable. I spent a lot of time out there. Northern California had a whole segment. Then you had the central part, and then the southern part, Los Angeles, and that was just unreal.
Is there any state that's better?
I don't know. It's a lot of states, naturally. I didn't get to spend enough time. We couldn't find anybody to work with, so I don't know. But the southern part, there was a whole thing that tied in with what we know as the Bible Belt that never, you know, it had to do with Jimmy Swaggart when he went after that stuff. They had killed a couple preachers who tried to expose it. And that's another story that, you know, has never been told. It just goes on and on.
Now, the NYPD has expanded its reach and changed. Are they influential not only locally but nationally and internationally?
If they want to be.
And why? Because
there was a story a couple years ago. Associated Press did it on how the New York Police Department works outside of the government. And I've got a copy of it. About halfway through, it says that it started in the late 60s and 70s. And right after that article came out, I had a couple of phone calls. And they said, Jim, they still don't know what you were doing. The New York Police Department is very effective. If they reach all over.
So they're good. Could they be a model for
good.
Other...
Well, yeah, but, you know, they have a lot to protect in New York. And you saw what happens when they got lax. You had 9/11 and a few things like that. But when they decide they're going to stop it, they stop it.
And that's something I
wanted to... And I'm not going to go into that publicly.
Well, maybe tell them privately. Okay, what are the roles of charities in all of this?
Oh, my God. Some of them are nothing but fronts. It's like that poster I showed you of how what it's known as. It's a you know, it tells you that you got these chicken hawks, which are the people who use kids. You know, you got to know the language to converse with these people. And if you don't know the language, the minute you talk, you might as well forget it. They won't trust you. They won't tell you nothing. But a lot of these are nothing more than candy stores where you can go and pick up kids. In the underground, they're called candy stores, where you can go there and play goody-two-shoes and take off with the kids, you know, which is at every kind of, everything you can imagine. Schools are, and everywhere I've gone and spoke on this, people have spotted it and done something, you know.
They become aware.
Yes, yes. But the people that know how, the stuff that a lot of these people are going out and talking about, they have no idea what they're telling these people. It's only politically correct, feel good, do good. It doesn't tell the people the truth, you know?
There's a couple cases recently. The Laura Silsby case, where she was trafficking kids out of Haiti, and the Clintons actually came to her rescue.
Well, I don't know about that.
You don't know about that one?
Because those aren't, you know, yeah, you read about them, but I don't believe that. I don't believe that. If I didn't work at my, you know, and physically went there, because I saw a lot of the things we worked on that were made public one way that had no factual basis to it whatsoever. A number of things. And I can go into them, but one of the saddest was Father Bruce Ritter, you know, with the Covenant House. And when he started doing something, they accused him of being a pedophile. And when I got word of it, and I came back to New York, that was the end of that, because I worked with him. And I knew what he had done. And we had investigated it personally. And we never found any evidence to say that he was.
Well, there's another case, the Wetterling. Patty Wetterling was the chair of the HCMC, which is the NCMC, which is National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, it's the big one that works with the FBI. She was, right? Am I wrong?
I guess that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but
supposedly.
I met with them people personally at the last meeting in Iowa when the man came up and told me that they knew, you know, because I had dealt with them, and he says, I'm retiring. And he told me, he says, you were the only guy that we dealt with that knew what was going on. And but they couldn't do, you know, they were limited in what they could do.
Well, Patty Wetterling was a chair of...
Yeah.
Was she, why would she, is she a good character from your experience and research?
Well, I don't know nothing about that, but first of all, just because you're a victim don't make you an expert. You know, why was she the head of it? I have no idea. You know, I feel sorry for any mother but I will not. Look at Noreen Gosh. You know what Noreen Gosh did? And in my papers, you will see a thing where me and Noreen made up a pamphlet on what victims should do when they become a victim. And it has a picture of a mug of coffee with wings on it, right? Well, when she was told that, because she was really nobody, her kid disappeared, she threw the mug of coffee, mug and all, right in the agent's face. That's what she did.
She's a good person. I've read some things on her.
Yes, I've met her many times. I know the Johnny Gosch case inside and out, and everything that goes with it. She did not get rich by her son disappearing.
Now, what do you know about that case? Was it tied into the network that...
Yeah, I told you, it's part of that coming out of New York. It was part of that. It had to do with the whole Franklin cover-up, the Omaha, Nebraska stuff, and what's interesting is the FBI agent who ends up here. There's no connection. Why did they send Nick O'Hara up here from Omaha? You know? And ask Nick O'Hara what he told the police chief in West Des Moines, Iowa.
What did he tell him?
To stand down. That's right from his mouth to me.
So who was involved at a higher level were they protecting the ring?
Yeah, it had to do with they didn't want to expose what we had on East 64th Street. Can you imagine if they invoked national security to protect the murdered 14 and 15-year-old boy? Huh? You tell me what part of the National Security Act allows that.
Well, that should be the why it's for.
That's right.
Protect children, then what can you do?
Yeah. Hey, they can go get the subpoena. There's still somebody alive that knows when I called that day.
So let's get started on the Trump stuff. Now I'm going to be on camera right now. You know Trump personally.
I only said the time, only time I ever was with him personally was one night having dinner with a bunch of other developers.
And what do you know about how, what Trump has to be like in order to be successful in New York?
You got to be one of the sharpest businessmen in the world to do what he did in New York and how he did it. You have to know the system. You have to have the right connections. You know, and then there is this thing that is called, that most people don't even know. It's known as the cash underground, where cash talks, big cash. I personally was present when there were 10 suitcases, each one with $1 million on a business deal. You know, this is the real world in New York, and how many people even know what that is? They've never heard of the cash underground.
And Trump would know this.
Yeah, well, any businessman in New York that's that of that caliber. You had the Milsteins, the Zeckendorfs, and the list goes on and on. And there was one man in particular, or a couple of them, that when they were found out, nobody even knew who they were. And yet they owned more buildings and stuff than anybody ever could imagine. And these were the people I knew, you know, because, of, again, like I told you, I had these hookers and pedophiles working for me, and they knew all these people. You know, that underground in New York, once you infiltrate that and become a trusted part of it, I never took a payoff. You know, that was the big thing. They knew they couldn't buy me. And it, many times it was brought out, even after I retired. A old boss of mine was sent to talk to me, and he asked me, were you approached by this certain organized crime figure after you retired to come to work for him in a business he had? I said, absolutely. Did you take the job? I said, no. I told him, I said, you know, that would go against my principles because even if I'm retired, this was part of it. And the guy respected me. He says, yeah, that was on a FBI wiretap that you wouldn't take it. But he says, we just had a check. But that's why... there were instances in a lot of these things where people came to see me after I retired, either to thank me or to ask me, and they came from all over the world. So, yes, the Donald Trump, the part of business in that. At that time, you had the Grand Central Station when that real estate all went up. I was in the middle of all that stuff with these people. That's big business. The Waldorf Astoria, you had the Biltmore Hotel. When that got, you know, sold off and Bank of America bought it, I was in the middle of all of that. They made sure that I was happy, you know.
Why was it important to make you happy?
Well, they didn't want me mad at them, that's for sure. They didn't, you know, I knew a lot of things. And, you know, it's just the way it was. You don't go causing problems. There's respect. And it's like my rules of 8th Avenue. That's what that was. You know,
so is Donald Trump honest and has integrity?
Well,
is he going to tell the truth and say do what he says?
Oh, I would say if anybody is, he's going to do it. You know, that gets interesting about, he's doing a business deal. He's going to say what he has to say, but I'll guarantee you one thing. He's going to get done what he wants to do. And, you know, if you know the right people and the right thing, just look at what has happened. All of a sudden, people who have never talked to us, all of a sudden are talking to us. Why? You know, you got to remember, New York is where the money is. And they still got to have money. You know, and he was definitely one of the big players when it came to the big money. Oh, yeah. And people don't understand that.
Would he have been compromised?
No. How can you be compromised if you admit to, you know, if they're talking about infidelities? What do, in Mother Nature, what do young boys and young girls do? Right? Now, when he was out there chasing women or women chasing him, things, have you ever heard him say, oh, that's bullshit? Well, what is he going to say? No, I didn't. He don't do that.
They try to tie him to pedophilia and all that stuff.
I never in all the years that I worked ever, ever had any information like that on Donald Trump. And I knew the big boys. And it's like I say, Cohen and them guys, there never was any mention of that with Trump. That's why when I hear that stuff and some of these people that are going out saying this, where did they come from? They read it on the computer somewhere? I'll to give you an example. A while back, a lady called me and she said, did you ever hear that this and this guy was a pedophile? I said, yeah, I heard it, but I didn't work it. I have no idea. The next thing, Jimmy Rothstein says this and this guy's a pedophile. I never said that, right? You hear it? Yes. But I don't believe it. It's like I said, unless I know, then it wasn't true.
But in Trump's case, you never heard it.
No, no. And in those days, listen, if he would have been, we'd have had it. There's no doubt about it, let me tell you.
So when you see all the media attacking him, what are your thoughts on
it? I laugh. I said, these people, the people that are attacking him are doing it to cover their own, what you call it, you know? Because they should look in their closet. There's some stuff in the works right now that some of this stuff that's been exposed, especially on this human trafficking, pedophilia, and the stuff with the church, is not happening on its own.
Do you think Trump is actively trying to destroy, to bring it down?
Yes, and I can't tell you why I know that. That certain things are coming out. And there was something supposed to come out. That's why every Friday at 2 o'clock I watch the news. Because normally if there's a secret grand jury and the information comes out, it's on Friday afternoon. And now I understand it'll be not till after the election. In fact, it was something was on the computer this morning about there's some big secret grand jury or something that they're worried about, yeah.
What about the sealed indictments?
Well, that's what...
This is it. So when they say there's over 55,000 sealed indictments, do you... possible?
No, I don't believe that.
What do you think is really happening? There's something happening, but not bad.
No, there is... What it is going to do is show the vulnerabilities that we have and the people who used it, you know, that were, again, I've been at these meetings where this stuff comes out on people and they're exposed, you know, and things don't happen right. I was there, you know.
Do you think this is a national security threat?
Oh, my God. Oh, more than that, you should hear all the military victims that call me. The people, the women who were in the military. Remember, if a general rapes or has sex with a private, is he compromised? Yes, he is. And I had that, and like I said, when you read the Ed Skull Murphy stuff, the stuff with church and those people, I knew about that. It happened before I was there, but those were the things we knew, and then over the years, the different things on people that fell into the same category. Look at the stuff you just had in the Far East with Fat Albert. You know, this is what they do. And in the Kennedy assassination, one of the things when I arrested Sturgis, when I asked him, he said he was messing with Ellen Ramage. She was a Soviet spy. I knew these people. Why do you think they came from England on the Profumo case? You know, that's what spies, women do. We got women spies. You look on that book right there by Merida, one of the best I ever met in my life when they, you know, and I had saved her life. So I learned a few things from her, you know.
Grandma might be the spy, not the one that looks like James Bond.
Yeah, but oh yeah, she was the best. But again, these are the people I knew, the Piggy Peggies and the Junes and all of them. I had a whole one night, again, I like to cite actual things. A lieutenant needed some information on some very high-level criminal activity. So he came to me and he says, Jim, what can you do? He says, come on. So we went down to 36th and Lexington to an apartment building to see a lady that I knew. And we got there. There were 13 women in various states of getting dressed to go out working for the night. They were hookers. And we sat there and we both had a can of beer. And the girls, like I say, were in various stages. And when we got done, we told the girls what we needed. And we left. We're walking up the street, and the lieutenant says to me, Jim, would anybody believe we didn't have sex with those girls? I says, boss, you don't shit where you eat, because if you do, you lose all credibility. And you know what? This informant had her bedposts hollowed out for microphones in case we needed it. And within 2 days, we had the information we needed. That's just an example of how that worked. The same in the pedophile world. You put the word out there, and it didn't take it. Like when I got the thing for Dr. Rockefeller looks like Kazumoto, that's the only description I had. Do you know, it only took me a couple of days to find out who it really was.
If there was one thing you wanted Donald Trump to know, what would that be?
Keep doing a good job. Oh, yeah, yeah. He knows what he's doing. You don't live at that level in New York without knowing what the real world is. And 99 9/10% of the people you hear talking about have no clue how New York works. None. And if you go in the police department, you'd be amazed how few of them ever get to know. But then there are those who do know. And let me tell you, they know what they're doing.